The first specific proposal for HJR 173 and what it would cost you. A closer look at State Representative Darren Chappelle's published plan for how HJR 173 would actually work. For weeks, supporters of HJR 173 have been asked a simple question. What specifically will be taxed and at what rate? State Representative Darren Chappelle has now answered, publishing a specific proposal on Facebook. This is the most substantive engagement we've seen from any supporter, and it deserves to be examined carefully. What follows is an honest look at Representative Chappelle's proposal. The math, what would be newly taxed under his plan, how it compares to what other supporters have committed to, and what voters need to understand about how the actual implementing legislation will likely look different from any single legislator's vision. The proposal in his own words. Representative Chappelle published his proposal as part of a series answering questions about HJR 173. Here it is in his own words. On the constraints, he wrote, "The broad base times the rate of taxation equals the time until the income tax is eliminated. If the tax remains narrow, either the tax rate must be high or the elimination time will be longer. Broaden the base and the rate may be low and still achieve income tax elimination." On the limits, he wrote, "There are boundaries which may not be crossed in the consideration. The Missouri Constitution prohibits sales taxes on the sale of homes under Article 10, Section 25. The national government prohibits sales taxes on any services funded by Medicaid. The governor has said that he will not accept any taxes on housing or medical care." On his proposal, he wrote, "I would suggest a sales tax rate of 6% or less applied to all new goods and services. I would not tax used items, not even automobiles. The resulting revenue and the increased economic activity would allow for an immediate reduction of the income tax and a complete elimination thereof shortly thereafter." The core of his proposal can be summarized as follows. A sales tax rate of 6% or less applied to all new goods and services. No tax on used items, including used automobiles. No tax on the sale of homes, citing Article 10, Section 25 of the Missouri Constitution. No tax on medical care, citing federal Medicaid restrictions and the governor's stated position. And local government windfalls eliminated through the offset requirement, producing what he describes as a very low increase of current combined rates at the cash register. Before we examine the specifics, we want to acknowledge something important. Representative Chappelle did what we've been asking supporters to do for weeks. He put a specific proposal on the public record. That's substantive engagement, and it deserves a substantive response. The conversation Missouri voters need to be having is exactly this kind of specifics versus specifics comparison, not vague assurances against vague concerns. The math, what 6% actually means. Representative Chappelle proposes a state sales tax rate of 6% or less. To understand what this means in practical terms, it helps to look at the current rate structure and what changes. Missouri's current state sales tax rate is 4.225%. Representative Chappelle's proposed rate is 6%. That's a change of 1.775 percentage points. But more importantly, it's a 42% proportional increase in the state sales tax rate. Most discussions of tax rate changes use the smaller-sounding percentage point framing. Raising the state sales tax from 4.225% to 6% sounds modest in that framing. But the proportional increase? How much more Missourians would pay in state sales tax on every taxable purchase? Is 42%. That's a meaningful difference in how the change actually feels to voters. There's an important question Representative Chappelle's proposal doesn't fully clarify. Whether the 6% includes the existing constitutional earmarks for education, conservation, and parks and soils, or whether those would be added on top. Missouri's current state sales tax of 4.225% is actually four separate constitutional taxes bundled together. 3% for general revenue, 1% for education, 0.125% for conservation, and 0.1% for parks and soils. The education, conservation, and parks portions are constitutionally dedicated. They go to those specific funds and cannot be redirected to general revenue. Section 26, subsection 4 of HJR 173 specifically requires these constitutional sales tax rates to be adjusted as the base expands, so they continue to generate substantially equal revenue, but at adjusted rates. This matters for the income tax offset math. Here are the two possible interpretations. If 6% is total state, including earmarks, the general revenue portion within that 6% is what's available to offset the income tax. The constitutional earmarks for education, conservation, and parks must continue generating substantially equal revenue from the expanded base, which under Section 26, subsection 4, means their rates get adjusted downward as the base grows. The remaining headroom within the 6% envelope goes to general revenue, likely around 5 to 5.5% of the expanded base, depending on how much the base actually grows. Voters reading 6% rate should understand that the income tax offset draws from a smaller portion than that headline number suggests. If 6% is general revenue only, not including earmarks, the total state sales tax rate Missourians actually pay would be approximately 6.5% to 7.2%. That's the 6% general revenue plus the constitutionally preserved earmark rates on the expanded base. That's a larger total rate increase than the headline 6% suggests. Combined with average local sales tax of 4.22%, the total rate Missourians actually pay at the register would rise from approximately 8.4% today to somewhere between 10.2% and 11.4%. In some Missouri jurisdictions with higher local rates, the combined total could approach or exceed 13%. Either way, the constitutional earmarks have to be preserved. Voters considering Representative Chappell's proposal, or any HJR 173 implementation, should understand that the 6% headline rate is doing different work depending on how the earmarks are handled, and that the available income tax offset is smaller than a simple reading of the rate would suggest.
What would be newly taxed?
Representative Chappell's proposal applies the new rate to, quote, all new goods and services, with the specific exclusions he names. This means a wide range of services Missourians currently use without paying sales tax would carry the new tax under his proposal. The list below is representative, not exhaustive. Treatment of some categories under current law has nuances. Some telecommunication services and commercial utilities already carry sales tax, for example, and the precise scope under implementing legislation would need to be specified. But the directional picture is clear. Under all new goods and services, with Representative Chappell's stated exclusions, here are the kinds of things Missouri families would start paying sales tax on. Childcare services, including daycare, after-school programs, summer camps, and in-home childcare. Personal services, including haircuts, salon services, manicures, massage, and personal training. Professional services, including legal services, accounting, tax preparation, consulting, and financial planning. Home services, including house cleaning, lawn care, landscaping, pest control, and snow removal. Home maintenance, including plumbing, electrical, HVAC service calls, appliance repair, and roofing repair. Auto services, including mechanic labor, oil changes, car washes, detailing, and towing. Pet services, including veterinary services, grooming, boarding, pet sitting, and training. Real estate services, including real estate agent commissions, title services, closing services, home inspections, and appraisals. Funeral services, including funeral arrangements, embalming, cremation services, and memorial services. Education and tutoring, including tutoring, test prep, music lessons, swim lessons, and driving instruction. Entertainment and recreation, including gym memberships, club dues, recreational classes, and golf course fees. Digital services, including streaming subscriptions, software subscriptions, app purchases, and cloud storage. Financial services, including banking fees, investment advisory fees, and brokerage services. and additional telecommunications taxation on services not already covered under existing law. For a typical Missouri family, the new taxes on these services would add up. Even a modest pattern of household services use, daycare, regular haircuts, occasional veterinary visits, home maintenance, a few subscriptions, could easily generate hundreds of dollars in new annual sales tax under this proposal, on top of the increased rate applied to existing taxable purchases. It's worth understanding that what we've shown here is what would likely be added under Representative Chappell's specific proposal. Other supporters of HJR 173 have committed to different exemption lists, which leads us to the next issue. What other supporters have promised that Representative Chappell hasn't? Aaron Hedlund, chief economist at the Shomi Institute and chief economist for domestic policy at the White House Council of Economic Advisors, has publicly committed to keeping rent, health care, child care, and groceries exempt under HJR 173 implementation. Representative Chappell's proposal addresses homes, medical care, and used items, but doesn't explicitly address child care, groceries, professional services, real estate services connected to home sales, telecommunications expansions, or personal services. This isn't a criticism of Representative Chappell. He's putting his own proposal on the record, which is more than other supporters have done. But it surfaces a problem voters need to understand. Same amendment, different supporters, different exemption sets, none in the constitutional text. Here's the honest reality. When supporters tell voters, this is what we'll do, whether it's Hedlund's exemption list, Representative Chappell's proposal, or the governor's stated positions, none of those statements are constitutional commitments. The constitutional commitment is to the framework. The authority to expand sales tax to goods and services for the purpose of income tax elimination. Whatever specifics emerge from implementing legislation are what voters actually get, not what any individual supporter described during the campaign. The lobbyist problem. Here's what supporters of HJR 173 haven't been discussing, but voters need to understand. If the amendment passes, every industry in Missouri will have a direct financial reason to lobby the legislature for their specific exemption. This isn't speculation. It's already happening. Greg Ray of Ray Funeral Chapel and Cremation Services has posted publicly that the Missouri Funeral Directors and Embalmers Association will be requesting that funeral services be exempted from new sales taxes. The original video where he describes this is embedded in the article on our website. To be clear, the funeral services industry is doing what any well-run trade association would do under the same circumstances. They have a sympathetic argument. Grieving families shouldn't face additional tax burdens during one of life's hardest moments. We're not criticizing them for protecting their customers and their business. The problem isn't with the funeral industry. The problem is structural. The amendment authorizes the legislature to tax any goods and services, meaning every industry has the same incentive, the same motivation, and the same opportunity to lobby for exemption. Funeral services are simply the first publicly visible example of a dynamic that will define how implementing legislation actually gets written. Consider what this looks like at scale. Childcare providers will lobby for exemption, children's costs. Veterinarians will lobby. People love their pets. Auto repair shops will lobby. Essential service for working families. Plumbers, electricians, and HVAC technicians will lobby. Home necessities. Hairdressers and barbers will lobby. Small business. Every Missourian uses them. Lawyers and accountants will lobby. Sympathetic small business clients. Real estate agents will lobby. Housing market impact. Pet groomers will lobby. Funeral directors are lobbying. The list will be long. Some of these industries will succeed. Some won't. The pattern is predictable. Industries with strong existing relationships in Jefferson City, well-funded trade associations, and effective lobbyists will protect their customers from the new tax. Industries without those resources won't. The result is a sales tax base shaped by lobbying success rather than principled policy. The kind of Swiss cheese tax code that even supporters of HJR 173 acknowledge is bad policy. But here's the mathematical reality voters need to understand about every exemption granted. The revenue has to come from somewhere. Replacing the income tax requires a fixed amount of revenue, approximately $8.51 billion. That revenue must come from sales tax expansion. The amount generated equals the base, what gets taxed, multiplied by the rate. So if the base shrinks because more categories are exempted, one of two things has to happen. Either the rate goes up on everything else, or income tax elimination takes longer or doesn't fully happen. Supporters cannot simultaneously promise a low rate, multiple exemptions for sympathetic categories, full income tax elimination, and a near-term timeline. Some combination of those four has to give. This is the constraint that makes the lobbyist dynamic genuinely consequential. Every successful exemption shifts the burden onto whatever's left in the taxable base. Funeral services exempted? The rate has to go higher on other services to compensate. Or some of Representative Chapel's other proposed exemptions, homes, medical care, used items, get reconsidered. Child care exempted, as Hedlund has committed? More services have to carry the load, or the rate climbs. Each round of exemptions tightens the math on everything that remains. This is why voters cannot evaluate any individual exemption promise in isolation. The right question isn't, will rent be taxed, or will medical care be taxed? The right question is, if these categories aren't taxed, what carries the burden instead, and at what rate? That answer changes every time another industry successfully lobbies for exemption. Representative Chapel's proposal, however sincerely intended, cannot survive this process unchanged. Even taking him entirely at his word that his vision is all new goods and services, with his specific exclusions, the implementing legislation will be the product of committee markup, floor amendments, lobbyist pressure from every affected industry, conference negotiations, and political dynamics that haven't played out yet. The Chapel who proposes specific exemptions today isn't the same as the legislative outcome that emerges from a process not yet underway. What voters are actually approving. This is where the trust question becomes concrete. Voters approving HJR 173 are not approving Representative Chapel's proposal, Hedlund's exemption list, or the governor's stated positions. Those are all statements of intent from individuals who don't control the legislative process by themselves. What voters are approving is the framework, the constitutional authority for the legislature to expand sales tax to any goods and services, with the requirement that new revenue be offset against income tax reduction. The specifics, which exemptions hold, at what rate, on what timeline, with which industry successfully lobbying for protection, all of that gets decided in implementing legislation that hasn't been written yet. Implementing legislation can take up to 5 years to be enacted. Under HJR 173, during that window, the Hancock Amendment's voter approval protections, under Section 18, Subsection E, are specifically suspended for qualifying legislation. That means the legislature can pass tax increases authorized by HJR 173 without the voter approval requirement Missourians put in place to constrain exactly that kind of legislative action. 5 years is a long time in politics. Legislators change, governors change, lobbying alliances shift, economic circumstances evolve. The legislature voters are trusting in 2026 may not be the same legislature making the operative decisions in 2029 or 2030. Where we stand. Here is ACT for Missouri's position. We support eliminating Missouri's individual income tax. We oppose HJR 173 because it shifts taxes rather than cuts them, and because it asks voters to approve a constitutional framework whose operative specifics are still being negotiated among supporters in real time. The legislature already has the tools to eliminate the income tax through ordinary legislation. Senate Bill 3 from 2022 is reducing the rate right now without amending the Constitution. Republican supermajorities and a Republican governor have every authority needed to pursue real spending discipline plus growth-driven rate reductions. That path doesn't require giving the legislature new constitutional authority to tax services Missourians use every day. When this amendment goes to voters, whether on the November ballot or another statewide ballot the governor designates, we hope Missourians will reject it and send a clear signal that the legislature should pursue a path that genuinely reduces what government takes from us, not one that simply rearranges how it collects. Closing. This article is part of Act for Missouri's ongoing analysis of HJR 173. For more on the math behind the rate and base scenarios, our position on the conservative path forward, and our responses to other supporter arguments, visit act4mo.org. We appreciate Representative Chappell putting a specific proposal on the public record. The conversation Missouri voters deserve is exactly this kind of specifics versus specifics engagement. We hope other supporters follow his example, and that voters take the time to read carefully what each supporter is actually committing to, what's in the constitutional text, and what depends on legislative dynamics that haven't played out yet. Thank you for listening!